Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, it's playoff time, guys, so I will give you my Eastern Conference first round preview. We'll go through all the series, my predictions, and then I want to close out on a couple of teams that went out in the play-in. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we are in the midst of it. Mid-April means playoffs is underway in the NBA. The most exciting time in the playoff calendar, in my opinion, at least. So with that said, let's get into all these series, guys. We're going to start with the Eastern Conference. And we will start with the Cleveland Cavaliers, guys. The number one seed, the team that finished 64-18 atop of the Eastern Conference. And they'll be taking on the eighth seed, the Miami Heat. And boy, the Miami Heat has some road to take to get here, guys. They won on the road twice in the play-in, beating Chicago and then going into overtime to beat Atlanta in Atlanta. So this series, guys, Cleveland actually beat them 2-1 in the season series. But I think this is a little closer than everybody's making it out to be. Let's talk about the key matchups, guys. Donovan Mitchell going up against Tyler Hero. I think that's the one matchup that's going to be fantastic, guys. Donovan Mitchell, granted, everything's okay with him. He had issues with his ankle coming into the playoffs. I think with the rest and all that, and plus the fact that he missed the last 4 or 5 games for Cleveland, I think he'll be well-rested and ready to go in these playoffs. And you know the playoffs, they're kind of spaced out. So I think he should be okay in this. And he's going up against the likes of a Tyler Hero, who had a fantastic play-in, guys, scoring 38 and 30 respectively in the play-in, guys. I mean, he's been absolutely on fire, guys. Tyler Hero has been. And I tell you what, they need every single one of his points, guys. So Tyler Hero playing like a man possessed in the play-in now has to face the likes of a Donovan Mitchell. I think it's going to be one of the best matchups in the playoffs, to be honest with you. And then also, guys, you have Bam Adebayo versus Evan Mobley Jr. I think that's a very, very good matchup there. You have two defensive-minded guys who can get their offense. So I think whoever wins that battle, guys, I think that goes a long way in this series. And then this one kind of flies under the radar, but I think it's important. Kel-El Ward going up against Jared Allen. So it's a battle inside of the bigs. Ward, younger player going up against the veteran Allen. So I think that could be a very good matchup as well. Keys to victory for Cleveland. I think they have to dominate at the point guard position. Darius Garland has to have a fantastic series for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then also, I think their bench had to be able to produce with Miami's bench. Miami has a strong bench, but so does Cleveland. When you brought in DeAndre Hunter, you have him, Isaac Okoro, Sam Merrill, and the other guys that's on the bench going up against the likes of Haywood Highsmith, Jaime Jaquez, and also a Terry Rozier over there for Miami. The keys to victory for Miami, continued their impressive run on the road, guys. It took them two road wins to get into these playoffs, guys. So continue that, and then you have a chance to really give some trouble here to Cleveland. And then also, the addition of Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins, that they got at the trade deadline, and along with the play of Davion Mitchell, they're both playing very well in both the play-in games. So if you get contributions from those guys, that can help you as well. And I think, too, getting Mobley and Allen in foul trouble, because right now, that's your only two reliable bigs for Cleveland. And I think that's where you can kind of get a bit of an advantage there if you're able to do so. And to me, I think Miami, those three matchups I told you about, they have to win two of those three. They have to at least get an advantage in two of those three in order to win this series. My prediction, Cleveland in six. Miami's playing great. You got to give them that, but I don't think they lay down in this. I think they give Cleveland all they can handle, but I think it will be over in six games, guys. So there you go in that regard. Your next series, guys, the Boston Celtics, the two seed guys, and right now they finished the season 61-21. And they will be playing against the seventh seed, Orlando, who won their opening matchup against the Atlanta Hawks in the play-in. And Orlando finished with a 500 record. Mind you, they had to dig themselves out of a hole, guys, because remember, Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner at one time both were out and for long extended periods of time. So they pretty much had to dig themselves out of being out of the playing picture into it and reaching that seventh seed. So kudos to them for that. And like I said, they were able to beat Atlanta 120-95 in that play-in game. A game where you saw Cole Anthony have a fine game for them coming off the bench. And it's funny because that's a game I watched. Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, they only combined for 30 points between the both of them guys. 10 for 28 from the field and 0 for 8 from 3. So if you're facing a Boston club, you can't have both of these guys cold like this. At least one of them got to be hot in this. So there you go with that. Key matchups. Jason Tatum versus Paolo Banchero. This is a fantastic matchup, guys. Of two guys, Jason Tatum, a lot has been said about him being vastly underrated, which, I give some credence to that. The guy is always on your all-NBA first team. The guy is a model citizen, doesn't get into any trouble, and his team wins. So could he be getting more shine? Absolutely. But, he kind of has a Tim Duncan way about him. He just goes about his business without too much fanfare and all those sort of things. So, but this should be a fantastic matchup, guys. Then you look to Jaylen Brown versus Franz Wagner. Now, this is one I'll be watching very closely because Jaylen Brown has been told that he had to get shots in his knee for pain management. Coach Joe Mazzulla said so. So his health is imperative for Boston to advance in this series. And then Franz Wagner has, since the All-Star break and since he's been healthy, he's been playing fantastic basketball, guys. So this is going to be a very good matchup as well. And then also, guys, Kristaps Porzingis, and I think he'll see a steady diet of Wendell Carter Jr., Goga Bitadze, and also Jonathan Isaac. I think you're going to see a steady rotation of guys on KP to kind of slow him down. So I'll be looking at that as well. Keys to victory for Boston. I think it's going to be, you're going to have strong play from your backcourt there, from guys like Derek White, guys like Drew Holiday, guys like Peyton Pritchard, because that's the one Achilles heel for the Orlando Magic, and that's in the backcourt there. So if you get these guys playing well, I think it'll be pretty much no problem. And then they got to keep Montero and Wagner at bay. They have to do it. They can't let these guys explode in this series. And then for Orlando, continue their hot play, the hot play of those guys there. They, like I said, they've been one of the hotter teams in the league. So you definitely want to continue that. They have to neutralize Porzingis. I told you the guys they'll probably have on him, so they're going to have to slow him down. And then match the Boston guards. Because I think that's where Boston has a huge advantage in this series. So my prediction, I'm going to say Boston, and I'm going to say six. I'm going to say Boston and six, because I do think Orlando will be able to steal a game or two. But I think when all is said and done, at the end of the day, Boston will prevail in this series. So there you go. All right, let us move on. My New York Knicks, the 3 seed, they finished 51-31. Hang on a second. Yeah, 51-31 is what they finished. And they would play great at home, guys. Had fantastic home advantage at 27-14, and they will be taking on the Detroit Pistons, who finished 44-38. In the season series, though, guys, Detroit did beat them 3-1, so there you have that. Key matchups in this, I think it'll be Jalen Brunson versus Cade Cunningham. Do I think Cade Cunningham will see himself being defended by Brunson? I doubt that. I think they'll run Mikal Bridges at him. I think they could run OG Anunoby at him. I think they'll run a Josh Hart at him. I don't think it'll be Brunson. So I think they'll kind of hide Brunson on like a Tim Hardaway, maybe do that. But yeah, that's the way I see that. And then I wonder what Tom Thibodeau is going to do as far as Mitchell Robinson. Will he start him next to a Karl Anthony Towns? We'll see. A lot of people have been making overtures about that. My guy CP the Franchise over there at Knicks Fan TV, he's been making pleas for that, and I agree with him. I think you could now in the playoffs, you can go that route, especially given that you're going to face this young kid, Jalen Duren, who he's had a solid year for the Detroit Pistons on the inside. So I think it's the time where if you're Tom Thibodeau, you pull that trigger and you employ Mitchell Robinson and a Karl Anthony Towns. I get it. I understand Karl Anthony Towns. He's been getting into foul trouble lately. But if you're able to hide him on a Tobias Harris, then I think that's to the Knicks' advantage. So that's the way I'm seeing that. And then OG Anunoby on a Tobias Harris, just in case you want to. Or you could just slide OG again on a Kay Cunningham. I wouldn't worry too much about Osar Thompson, although he's a very good defender. I don't see him getting too much of his offense in this series. So there you go in that regard. Knicks key to victory. Again, employing Mitchell Robinson in this series. I think you're going to have to. You're going to need some defense, guys. You're going to need somebody to patrol the paint, to kind of keep the Detroit guys from, you know, being able to come into the lane with ease. And I think Robinson is a deterrent in that regard. Ball movement. I think ball movement is key, guys. We know Jalen Brunson, he can get his in the playoffs, but I think getting others involved, especially in this series, I think goes a long way. And then protect MSG. You got to protect the home court there, guys, if you want to win this series. Detroit needs the victory. Can their dominance over the Knicks in the regular season, can that translate to the playoffs? And, you know, it's said a lot. You know, what you do in the regular season is far different than what you do in the playoffs, especially for a young team like this, guys, where your key guys are pretty young and inexperienced as far as playoffs go. The only person with real experience over there is Tobias Harris. And last time we saw him and what he did with the Sixers last year, I wouldn't worry too much about that. And then Cade and Jalen Duren, they're going to need help from others. Guys like Malik Beasley, who can light it up from deep, especially coming off their bench. Tim Hardaway Jr., I just mentioned. Tobias Harris even. So they're going to need it from others in order to advance in this series. My prediction, and I've heard others say, I've heard Stephen A. say he thinks it's going to go 7 games. I've heard other people saying that outright that Detroit is going to beat the Knicks and take them out, given what they did to them in the regular season. I'm not of that opinion. And also, Danny Green, he was actually on First Take, and he says, yeah, he kind of agrees. He doesn't see that the team is inexperienced. This is their first time really in the playoffs. I get it. I understand J.B. Bickerstaff. He's been there and done that, but the players themselves have not. So there you go with that. But I'm saying the Knicks in five, guys. I'm saying the Knicks in five. I don't care that Detroit is restricting their tickets and not allowing Knicks fans to buy tickets to show up in the arena over there in Detroit. I don't care about any of that, guys. I know my Knicks fans. They'll find a way to get in that building. Trust and believe. So I'm not even worried about that. Protect your home court and steal one in Detroit, and there you go. That, and then that should be that for this club. But I'm saying it. I'm saying it with my full chest. Knicks and five. So it's funny because somebody made a post about it, about them restricting the tickets. What did I say? Restricted tickets, egg and biscuits, Wilson pickets. Knicks and five. So there you go. So that's my prediction in that regard. Moving on to the last series, and that is the fourth seed, the Indiana Pacers taking on, and as the fourth seed, they finished, they won 50 games, 50 and 32, so good for them. And they're taking on the five seed, the Milwaukee Bucks at 48 and 34. And Indiana had some very good home record at 29-11. And while Milwaukee finished 500 on the road. In the season series, guys, Milwaukee did beat them in the season series 3-1, albeit the last time they played them was in the middle of March, March 15th. So there you go with that. Key matchups. Pascal Siakam versus a Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think that's a very compelling matchup in this series. Of course, you're going to want to keep Giannis from being Giannis in this series. Pascal has the opportunity to do so, at least slow him down a bit. There will be others that you can throw on him, maybe an OB Toppin, although Obi's not known for being a defensive stalwart. So there's that. Maybe also you slide a Miles Turner on him, maybe to slow him a bit. You have options there, guys. You have options you can use to kind of slow down Giannis. So, and then this one I think is the key to the series. Tyrese Haliburton versus Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard's facing health issues. He's had an issue with blood clots, guys. They've now given him medication to kind of keep that at bay. He's been cleared for basketball activity. They have ruled him out of game one. So the game on Saturday in Indiana, Milwaukee will be without Damian Lillard. So that could be a wash game for Milwaukee until they get him back. And then Miles Turner versus a Brook Lopez. That's kind of a low-key matchup, but one that can be intriguing and go a long way in this series. Keys for Indiana in terms of keys to victory. The bench must produce, guys. Milwaukee's bench is very strong with Bobby Portis. They got him back now after his 25-game suspension. Ryan Rollins, who did an absolutely fabulous job playing in the absence of Dame Lillard. When Dame's back full-time, you'll have him on the bench. And then Pat Connaughton, who had a fantastic last game of the season for the Milwaukee Bucks and is a solid contributor coming off their bench versus a TJ McConnell, who's, well, I say one of the best backup point guards in the league. Obi Toppin, who I've mentioned, in terms of offense, he can give you that. And Ben Mathurin, who can light it up as well. Milwaukee keys to victory? I think it's just quite simple. Will Dame be healthy and available? That is the key question in this series. So my prediction? I'm going to say if Damian Lillard, if he plays 4 games or more in this series, I'm taking Milwaukee in 6. Now, if he doesn't play, he plays 3 games in this series, I think it'll be Indiana in 7 games. I think this has the makings of a long series, guys. I think they're very evenly matched here, but I think everything hangs on the health of Damian Lillard in that regard. So that's the way I'm calling that, guys. All right, and then the last thing for me, I want to talk about the teams that were knocked out and what their future looks like. Let's start with Chicago first, who was the 9th seed, suffered the loss to Miami in Chicago. And for their salary cap for the following season, right now they are at $134.8 million. Their free agents is Trey Jones, the point guard. Also, Josh Giddey. He has actually a qualifying offer of 11.1 million guys. So that's going to be an interesting bit of business. Javon Carter, who also have a player option at 6.8 million. And then Chris Duarte at 5.8 million. And then also Talen Horton Tucker, who happened to play good for them down the stretch, 2.4 million. The big questions, you got guys that's going to be eligible for contract extensions, guys. Guys like Kobe White, what are you going to do with him? A guy, like I said, he's in the running for possibly most improved player. I think he could be in the running for that. Now he's getting paid $12.8 million, so you're definitely going to want to have to bump that up. And then Josh Giddey, who could opt out of his – who has that qualifying offer. So you're going to have to come to the table as far as giving him a long-term deal. Is it worth it to you give him a long-term deal? We'll see. And then Nikolai Vucevic. He'll be on the last year of his deal at $21.4 million. So what, is he a part of this picture long-term, or do you deal him while he has some very good value? He's a walking double-double, a 18-10 guy, maybe 20-10 guy. So very valuable. Kevin Huerter, who they got via trade at the trade deadline, he's getting $18 million. That's his last year of his deal. And then Zach Collins, who for some reason he's getting $18 million. And he's on the last year of his deal. Oyo Dusumu getting $7.5 million. A very versatile guard for them. So will they extend his contract? We'll see. So a lot of decisions to be made by Chicago. You still have a Alonzo Ball on the books, so you got to come to grips with that. So a lot of decisions to be made there in Chicago. So we'll see what happens. Does Billy Donovan stay around? We'll see. It seems like he can't get any further than the play-in, guys. So I think Chicago management will take a long look at him. So we'll see in that regard. And then for Atlanta, I thought Atlanta was the most disappointing team coming out of this play-in, guys. They lost to Orlando. Granted, it was in Orlando, and Orlando plays well there. I grant you that. I mean, they got dismantled in Orlando. That's one thing. But to lose in overtime to the Miami Heat is absolutely unexcusable, guys. So they were a huge disappointment in my eyes. And right now, their salary for the following season is at $143 million, guys. Their free agents are Clint Capella, who was getting $22 million. I'd say for all intents and purposes, he's going to move on. Also, guys, Caris LeVert at $16.6 million. He's a free agent, guys. You got him during the trade deadline. So will he move on from here, maybe go to a contender? We'll see. And then Larry Nance Jr., who ended up being hurt down the stretch. What happens with him? We'll see. He was getting $11.2 million. I think the big question, guys, is what happens with Trae Young? You saw the fact, you know, if a guy like Luka Doncic can be moved, why not a Trae Young at this point? He has 2 years left on his deal at $46 million, and then he has a player option for $48.9 million, guys. So pretty much $49 million. So what do you do with Trae Young? I mean, again, outside of the one run they had where they made it to the conference finals, they haven't done much of anything else, guys. They've been a play-in team outside of that. So what do you do with a Trae Young? So we'll see what happens, guys. But this is not looking rosy there. I mean, if you were to trade a Trae Young, maybe get a nice haul back, some draft picks. You have some young players there you can build around. You have Onyeka Okongwu, your center there, now that he'll be the full-time center. Zachary Richesche, your former first pick overall in the draft. Dyson Daniels, who I thought had a breakout season. And Jalen Johnson, although another year he gets hurt again, but he's potentially one of your building blocks. So we'll see what happens in that regard. All right, guys. So that is it for this episode. I'll be giving you my Western Conference first round preview as well. That'll be coming shortly. Guys, thank you for listening. As always, All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. There you find my episodes, my clips. You find my donate buttons, three of those there, guys. Spotify donate, buy me a coffee, and my PayPal button is there. Cash App, you see it in the scroll, guys. It's there every week, guys. $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude is my Cash App. Guys, I'm on all the podcast platforms, Apple included. Leave reviews. Like the videos wherever you see them, guys. Also, YouTube, I'm there. LinkedIn, I'll post a link there for my videos as well. Also, socials, Blue Sky, IG, and TikTok. Well, TikTok while it's still alive and breathing. A little bit of Facebook and not much else. So I thank you guys for listening. Your listenership is so important to this show. Much appreciated. And we'll be talking soon. Take care.